Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of the Crimson Playhouse podcast, where the love runs deep, the stories simmer slow, and the music in the background is definitely produced by Crimson Renee. Who is that, you ask? It's me. Hi, I'm your host, Crimson Renee, and today we are stepping into chapter 7 of The Velvet Muse. Thanks for being here. If you're just joining us or you need a little refresher, let me bring you up to speed. Liza Thornberry came back to Baywood Heights to revive her late father's legendary jazz club, The Velvet Muse. But what she didn't expect was to come face to face with the man she left behind, her ex-fiancé, Mason Harris. Their chemistry? Still undeniable, their history still messy. And just when things couldn't get more complicated, in walked Maxwell Hayes, a magnetic saxophonist with a smile that melts tension and a vibe that's impossible to ignore. Now, the club is nearly ready for its big reveal, but Liza's heart, that's a whole different renovation project. And in chapter 7, she finds herself caught in the middle of two men who represent two very different versions of the future. You already know it's about to get intense, but before we dive in, make sure you like, subscribe, and if you want even more, bonus chapters, early access, and a backstage pass into Liza's world, join me over on Patreon. That's where the real tea gets poured. You can find that at patreon.com/crimsonplayhouse. All right, breathe deep, let the jazz settle in your bones, and meet me back at the Velvet Muse. This is chapter 7. Chapter 7. Morning arrived like an unwelcome guest. Sunlight slicing through the cracks in my curtains and dragging me out of a restless sleep. Mason's text from the night before still echoed in my mind, refusing to be dismissed. It wasn't long, just a screenshot and an offer, blunt, practical, like him. But somehow it carried the weight of everything we'd left unsaid. I rubbed my eyes and checked my phone. No new messages. I exhaled, setting it aside and forcing myself out of bed. The Velvet Muse wasn't going to rebuild itself. By the time I made it downstairs, the sounds of drills and hammers reverberated off the walls. The crew was already deep into the day's work, their movements brisk and efficient. And in the center of it all was Mason, clipboard in hand, his presence commanding, without him needing to say much at all.
"Morning, boss," Maxwell called from near the stage. He was crouched down talking to one of the workers, his hands moving animatedly as he explained something about the equipment. When he stood and brushed off his hands, he grinned at me. His smile was as warm as the sunlight filtering through the windows.
"You're just in time to witness my brilliance."
I arched an eyebrow. "Brilliance, huh?"
"Absolutely," he teased. "I've been supervising after all. Someone's got to make sure this place doesn't fall apart."
I rolled my eyes. "Just don't break anything." Before Maxwell could retort, Mason's voice cut through the room.
"We're moving the stage supports today. They're unstable."
I turned to find him standing just a few feet away, clipboard still in hand, his eyes meeting mine for a split second before flicking back to the task at hand. His tone was professional, but there was something in the way his gaze lingered on me that made my breath hitch. "Sounds good," I said, keeping my voice steady. "Let me know if you need anything." He nodded, his expression unreadable, and turned back to his team. Beside me, Maxwell let out a low whistle.
"Man's got a serious poker face," he muttered, shaking his head. "You sure you two are barely talking? Because the tension in here says otherwise."
"Maxwell," I warned, giving him a pointed look. He held up his hands, grinning.
All right, I'll behave. For now." The day passed in a blur of sawdust, sweat, and suppressed emotions. Mason stayed out of my way for the most part, but I couldn't help noticing how often he found reasons to hover nearby. Close enough to be within earshot, but not too close that we had to interact. Meanwhile, Maxwell was a constant presence, making sure the mood never got too heavy. He cracked jokes, helped Marcy with odd tasks, and kept everything light when the air threatened to suffocate me. At one point, he convinced Marcy to join him for a coffee run, leaving me alone in the club with Mason and his team. I busied myself behind the bar, finalizing design ideas for the club's new logo, but the quiet between us was deafening. Eventually, the noise of the drills and hammers faded, and I glanced up to find Mason standing across the room, watching me. His expression was softer than I'd seen in days. He walked over.
"You've been working hard," he said,
his voice low enough that only I could hear. "So have you," I replied, closing my laptop. "Isn't that the point?" He stepped closer, the space between us narrowing.
"You're really doing it, Liza, bringing this place back to life. It's impressive."
The sincerity in his tone caught me off guard, and for a moment, the weight of our shared history lifted. The walls of the club, the smell of the sawdust, it all faded into the background, leaving just the two of us dancing in the middle of what once was and what could be. Before I could respond, the front door creaked open and Marcy and Maxwell returned, their laughter cutting through the tension. The moment between Mason and me evaporated, like smoke slipping through my fingers. That evening, as the crew packed up and Marcy and Maxwell headed out, I was left alone, shutting down my laptop when I heard Mason's footsteps approach. His strides were deliberate, and the look in his eyes made me pause.
"Liza," he asked, stopping a few feet away, "do you want to grab dinner?"
I blinked, unsure if I heard him correctly.
"Dinner?"
He nodded, his expression softening.
"Yeah, just us. I think we need to talk."
Something about the way he said it, earnest, almost hesitant, made me agree. "Okay." We ended up at Joanne's, a cozy Italian restaurant tucked away on a quiet street. The dim lighting and soft jazz playing in the background created an intimate atmosphere. And as we sat across from each other, the weight of everything we hadn't said hovered between us like an uninvited guest. After thanking the waiter and ordering, Mason leaned back slightly, swirling his glass of water as he studied me. Just as he opened his mouth to speak, a familiar jingle of a purse strap interrupted us.
"Well, if it isn't the two of you." Miss Bellum's warm voice rang out as she and her husband approached our table. Her eyes sparkled with a knowing kind of nostalgia, and I suddenly felt like we were teenagers again, caught sneaking out past curfew.
"It's so good to see you, Miss Bellum," I said, offering a polite smile while my pulse raced. She looked between Mason and me, her grin widening. "It's nice seeing you two together again, just like the old days."
I glanced at Mason, who managed a polite but albeit awkward smile. Her husband nodded kindly, but Miss Bellum wasn't done stirring the pot.
"You always made such a good pair,"
she added before finally saying goodbye and returning to her table. As soon as she was gone, I exhaled and caught Mason watching me, his expression a mix of amusement and something deeper.
"Well," he said with a soft chuckle, "I guess we're officially the reunion tour now."
I tried to smile, but it barely touched the surface. "I guess so." He tapped his fingers against the table, then cleared his throat.
"So, Maxwell, what's the deal with him?"
"Maxwell's a friend," I said, deliberately keeping my tone neutral. "He's been helping out with the club." Mason nodded, but his lips pressed into a thin line.
"Seems like he's always helping."
I raised an eyebrow. "You're not exactly being subtle."
Mason leaned back, rubbing the back of his neck. I didn't mean to bring it up like that, he admitted. That's not the conversation I wanted to have.
I waited, letting the silence stretch until he finally spoke again.
I've been thinking about us,
he said, his voice low.
About how things ended. I said things I didn't mean, things that hurt you. And I'm sorry, Liza. I know I'm late, but I regret it. I regret how I handled everything.
His words hit me like a wave, pulling me under memories I thought I'd buried. My throat tightened, but I forced myself to stay composed. Mason,
let me finish,
he interrupted gently.
I thought working hard was enough. I thought building something for us was what you needed, but I didn't see how much I was losing you in the process.
The raw honesty in his voice cracked something open inside me. You weren't the only one who made mistakes, I said quietly. I ran. I didn't give you the chance to fix things because I didn't know how to fix myself. The weight of those words settled between us, but instead of feeling heavier, I felt lighter. His fingers brushed against mine, warm and familiar, and for a moment, it felt like we hadn't spent years apart. We stepped outside into the cool night air, walking in silence until Mason stopped me just as we reached the side entrance to the club and my apartment front door. His eyes searched mine, and before I could say anything, he leaned in, his lips brushing against mine in a kiss that started soft but quickly deepened. It wasn't just a kiss. It was a confession, a promise, and a plea all at once. When we pulled away, his forehead rested against mine.
I missed this,
he whispered. My heart pounded in my chest, but I couldn't bring myself to say the words I knew he wanted to hear. Instead, I nodded, letting the night swallow the moment, knowing this wasn't the end. It couldn't be.
That was chapter 7 of The Velvet Muse. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode. These characters, this story, every beat is crafted with love, and I'm just so grateful that you're here to feel it with me. Thank you. If you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. You can leave a rating or a review and share it with your favorite romance lover or audiobook junkie. Sharing this story helps it grow, and I just want all the lovers, the dreamers, and the creative souls to be a part of the Playhouse. And if you're craving more of The Velvet Muse, come through to the Patreon. I'm dropping exclusive bonus chapters, early episode access, and all the messy magical moments we don't have room for in the public feed. The Patreon link is in the show notes, or you can visit patreon.com/crimsonplayhouse. All right, my loves, that's it for today. Stay grounded, stay open, and keep letting the rhythm of your heart guide you. I'll be back next week. My name is Crimson Renee, and this has been the Crimson Playhouse podcast. See ya.